Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning. Looking ahead to the big game on Sunday between the Titans and the Colts. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Kevin Bowen from 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis. Kevin, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So, Kevin, it seems like Phillip Rivers and this offense is finding their form the past couple of weeks against both the Titans and the Green Bay Packers. What are you seeing right now from the Colts offensively, and what do you think's coming together there?
Well, I think if you go back to the first meeting, the quick tempo, I thought, really sparked some things down there in Nashville. The Colts moved the ball really probably as consistently as they have all season long. I want to say they had 7 drives to start that game, all reached at least the Tennessee 30-yard line, and more than half of them reached inside the 10, and we just haven't seen this team move the football anywhere like that this season. So I thought the quick tempo, a little bit of no huddle, helped things on a short week against a Tennessee defense that I thought was a bit tired. And then what you guys saw in that Thursday night matchup was two young skill guys really showing out in Michael Pittman and Nyheim Hines. Hines wasn't as involved last week against the Packers, but Pittman had a couple big plays in his first NFL touchdown. So I think it's kind of a combination of some of that stuff. They ran it pretty well against Green Bay, which they haven't done this season. So I think those are some factors that have played into it.
Yeah, Pittman, obviously a guy who has a lot of ability, has not been able to show it a lot this year. How much do you think that's just changing things for Phillip Rivers, Kevin, in terms of just giving him that that option that maybe T.Y. Hilton has been for the Colts in the past, but now you've got another guy like that who can actually stretch a defense and take the ball after the catch and be dangerous?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely huge. You know, when you think about Phillip Rivers in his career, the big body wideouts, Vincent Jackson, Tyrell Johnson, who we had a couple of years ago, even Keenan Allen or Mike Williams. I mean, those are taller wideouts. T.Y. Hilton is not that mold. So I think Pittman gives him a comfortability with the size. But then, like you mentioned, what Pittman has shown after the catch, you know, you can kind of see a little bit of his dad. You know, his dad was an NFL running back for over a decade and was on that Super Bowl team in Tampa. And I think that's what we're seeing, especially on Sunday against Green Bay. We saw Pittman in the open field on a couple crossers, turn up field, and, you know, he's 4-5, which is very respectable in the 40-yard dash, but I think he runs violently in the open field. I think the Colts have really needed to lean on some sort of skill player to step up and take more of the brunt, especially in the passing game. And now that Pittman's back from an injury that sidelined him for a few games, he's carrying that. And this is a guy with a high draft pick. I mean, he's taken 34 overall in a really deep wideout draft. So this is not like this is that much of a surprise.
Kevin Bowen from 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis joining us here on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kevin, Jonathan Taylor, a big game on Sunday against Green Bay, 22 carries for 90 yards, and it's been an up and down year for Jonathan Taylor so far. What do you think he is right now in terms of his progression, and how much of a factor do you think he could be on Sunday for the Colts in this game against the Titans?
Yeah, you know, he, I want to say against Tennessee, maybe it was the game before, he kind of got benched for the second straight week. And, it's really been up in the air since Marlon Mack went down in week one, how they would handle those kind of lead running back reps. And Nyheim Hines, you know, had that breakout game offensively as both a runner and a receiver. But last week against Green Bay in the third quarter, they stuck with Taylor. He kind of struggled in the first half, and they tried Hines and Jordan Wilkins, who's their other running back, early in that game. Not a lot of success there. But against Green Bay's run defense, which is not good, the Colts decided to kind of stick with that run, and I thought it was the best we've seen from Taylor, you know, creating a little bit more yards that weren't necessarily there. I think that's been a struggle for him. He's got this, you know, God-gifted ability talent-wise of, you know, weighing nearly 230 pounds and running 4.3, but yet we haven't really seen a lot of that. A little bit in the open field, but that's more in the passing game. We haven't seen a lot of that between the tackles, but I thought against Green Bay we started to see more of that, and it's no secret the Colts want to run the football. You don't draft, you know, 4 guys in the top 40 picks and trade up for Jonathan Taylor and not want to be a heavy run team, but they have not run it effectively, especially short yardage this season. So we'll see. You know, Sunday I would consider it the best game of Jonathan Taylor's career. That's not saying a whole lot. He hasn't set the bar very high. But now is that going to be the norm moving forward of this run game, you know, finding a resurgence? Because the offensive line has...
I think we may have lost Kevin there on our phone line. We'll try to get him back here coming up. But some great talk there from Kevin in terms of the running game. That was a problem for the Colts earlier this season. And it didn't make a whole lot of sense with the way that the offensive line is kind of set up there. But Jonathan Taylor was great on Sunday against the Packers. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, like, the Packers defense against the run is awful, but it was bad on Sunday against the Colts. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com, and bring in Kevin Bowen of 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis. So, Kevin, I want to ask you about DeForest Buckner. How big of an impact has he had defensively for this group in terms of what they've been able to do and how dominant they've been at times defensively this year?
Yes. Sorry about that, guys. I'm driving through a little bit of rain here in Indy.
But, you're fine.
Yeah, Buckner, you know, when you look at the trade, I mean, the Colts traded the 13th overall pick for DeForest Buckner. That's no joke, you know, when you trade that high of a pick for a defensive tackle. You know, this isn't a quarterback or a wideout or an edge rusher. This is a defensive tackle. And if you look at his stats, just purely sacks, tackle for loss, they won't jump off the page at you, but he's really doing a lot to this team. He plays a ton of snaps for a guy that weighs 300 pounds. I think he set some other people up on that defensive line. Danico Autry, you know, has been a guy that I think's given the Titans some fits over the, you know, past couple of years. Justin Houston, you know, seemingly has a sack about every game, or at least nearly every game. So I think Buckner's presence has just really helped this team feel better about their front. They want to rush four and drop seven. They don't want to blitz a whole lot. And so I think Buckner just gives them more of an interior presence that's helping out that entire line.
And with you mentioned Autry, I'm glad you mentioned him. I was going to ask, obviously he was on the COVID list, could not play against the Packers. Kamoko Touré, though, has kind of come into the mix. So what does that look like for Sunday? What does it mean if it's the same thing and Autry can't play?
Yeah, so Autry is still up in the air. Frank Reich won't reveal if he had symptoms or not with this positive COVID test. If he was symptomatic, he won't play. If he was asymptomatic, he still has a chance to play. Touré made his debut here in 2020 last week, only played 10 snaps, and he's going up against a pretty good left tackle, David Bakhtiari. I know, you know, the Titans are dealing with some issues at left tackle right now, health-wise. So Touré is their best speed rusher. He gives them just a different presence off the edge. You know, Buckner in the interior, Curry's a guy that has more of that fastball. So, you know, I'll be curious to see maybe a more expanded pitch count going up against a little bit of a weaker left tackle. Now, as far as Autry, I thought the play of the game when these two teams met a few weeks ago was the Autry sack on a 3rd and 1 about midway through the third quarter. Titans had just stuck the Colts to the goal line. Got a couple first downs and getting out of the shadow of their own goal line. And then on that 3rd and 1, I think Henry was off the field. Tannehill ran a boot, and that's something the Colts have had issues with. And Autry, who's not the most disciplined guy, he stayed at home, made the sack on that 3rd and 1, shank punt, Colts take advantage, score, Colts get another 3 and out, and then they had the block punt. So I know it's not maybe the highlight play everyone points to, but I thought that 3rd and 1 sack by Autry was a huge play in that game.
Yeah, no doubt. Huge, huge sequence there. So, Kevin, do you think this game is basically the AFC South champion? Is it that simple? Team that wins this thing inside track likely to win the division?
Yeah, I think so. I'm kind of a loser, so I like to look at the analytical numbers on what a win or a loss would mean for playoff odds. And I think for the Colts right now, they have like a 55% chance to win the division. If they win on Sunday, that goes up to like 85%. If they lose, it goes down to, I want to say, like 18% or even maybe lower than that. And it's because the Colts have already lost in the division to Jacksonville, whereas the Titans only lost in the division to the Colts. So the Colts didn't help themselves out by losing that season opener in Jacksonville. And they still have Houston twice. And I don't think Houston is your typical 3-7 football team. You know, I don't want to see Deshaun Watson twice if I'm the Colts. So, yeah, I think this one is absolutely massive. you know, the winner of this, I would say, has firm control. The wild card picture for the Colts doesn't look as great because they've lost some head-to-heads against Cleveland and Baltimore already. So this is a big one. You know, this time last year, Tennessee came into Lucas Oil Stadium and beat the Colts. The Colts haven't won a division title since 2014. So this is about as big as you can get, you know, for late November.
Kevin Bowen from 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us, and great stuff. Looking forward to the game on Sunday.
Yeah, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. When we come back, how do the Titans go about slowing down Phillip Rivers in this matchup? He tore him apart with the short stuff in the last game. How do you defend that in this game? That's next. This is Robbie and Rexro here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, we talked to Kevin Bowen from 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis in our last segment, and we all know it. I mean, this is a huge game coming up for the Titans on Sunday against the Colts. Very likely that the winner of this game could win the AFC South, and we know what a disaster it was for the Titans the last time these two teams met, 34-17 for the Colts. And Phillip Rivers in that game threw for 308 yards, 29 of 39 through the air, one touchdown, no interceptions. And really, what killed the Titans in that game, other than special teams, obviously, was Rivers' ability to just hit everything, the short routes. I mean, they just basically killed the Titans' death by 1,000 paper cuts in that game, like 5-yard routes, 6-yard passing plays. You know, it's 3rd and 8, you pick up the first down. It's 4th and 1, you pick up the first down. Just a lot of short stuff in that game. The running backs heavenly evolved as well. How do the Titans go about defending that in this matchup, in your opinion? Especially with no Jayon Brown out there, which, as we know, gigantic loss for the Titans defense.
I just think they have to be more aggressive, and I know that's simplistic, and a lot of questions in the wake of that game, including for first-year defensive backs coach Anthony Midget about press coverage and about when you press, why you didn't press more in that game. I know it's not as simple as all that. And look, it is at times, even Kenny Vaccaro kind of tried to explain it after the Colts loss. You know, some of it is it's individual players and their own comfort in certain situations. Like, they have some freedom to – you know, determine what they're going to do with the line of scrimmage. And this defensive backfield, as constructed for most of this year, has not been a good group to be aggressive with. But I think you've got to try. And I think it gets more complicated because, as Kevin just told us, I mean, Michael Pittman is a guy who can hurt you over the top, you know, maybe in ways that T.Y. Hilton used to and doesn't do as much anymore. But that gives him another weapon. But I still think that Phillip Rivers is a guy who makes more mistakes and doesn't have a high rate of success when you take away those quick, easy throws. Is it all that said, you can't. It's not that easy. I mean, when the Titans were in man coverage and they had Jayon Brown, who's good in coverage, and they put him out there on Hines, they were aggressive. They were trying to take it away, and he just couldn't cover it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so it's tough. I mean, I think a big thing in this game also is going to be the way they do things. They're going to move the ball into the red zone on you. You gotta get those red zone stops. You gotta do what they did against the Ravens and ultimately buckle down when it's deep in your end and force them to kick field goals. I mean, that's going to be a huge key to this game.
And the other part is, you know, still just Phillip Rivers. I mean, he's had two really good games in a row against the Titans and the Packers. And as we know, sometimes when you get an extended version of good Phillip Rivers, maybe bad Phillip Rivers is right around the corner, certainly what the Titans could be hoping for. We talked to Charles Robinson yesterday from Yahoo Sports, who had some opinions on Phillip Rivers as the quarterback for the Colts. Here's what Charles Robinson had to say.
Problem with Rivers is when you watch him over the totality of a game, I'm telling you, the guy, when you see games where you're like, oh, he only had one interception, you're happy about that, go watch the film. There are a couple that were dropped, or there are, you know, something was misplayed in the secondary, because he's still prone every single game. You can count 3 or 4 passes that he sticks in places. You're like, dude, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this? And not even like under pressure duress situations. It's decision. He's making a decision to put a ball in a place that is just not smart. And I think you can get away with that over the course of a regular season with a good team. But I think when you get into the playoffs, you know, that's something that is going to be really critical for them. So I'm calling it now. You're going to see the Colts. There's going to be a Phillip Rivers, one of those just head scratching, you know, almost like what we saw last night with Tom Brady. Like, what is this guy doing and why is he throwing the ball there? You know, he's far too experienced to be doing this at this stage in his career, yet he is.
So that was Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on with us yesterday talking about Phillip Rivers. And, you know, it's funny, you hear Charles talk about that. If you think Phillip Rivers has had a good game where he goes and throws one interception, you can go back and find the film, and maybe there's a couple more that could have been had. And I think about, you know, the Titans game, he throws one up, and Malcolm Butler comes down with it. It's just on the sideline, and is not able to get his feet down on that play. And then in the Packers game, I want to say it was Jaire Alexander had one. He was about a step away from maybe a pick six on a drive where the Colts are leading the game with like 2 minutes left. Like, it was close to going the other way. So still prone to the occasional mistake, old Phillip Rivers, even though he has been playing well for the most part in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, and it's not like, I mean, if you're the Titans, it's not like you can count on that. You can't just say, oh, come on, Phil, give us a
toss
couple,
us
man.
One. Yeah.
But, and also, you probably can't realistically expect that you're going to have him under a lot of duress with your pass rush, with their offensive line, with what they do, which is boom, 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 get it out, 2.3 seconds or whatever the heck it was in that game. So you have to be aggressive in coverage, though, and I think this is a game where, again, I'll go back to Kevin Byard, a guy who can he bait him on one particular play? Can he find something and go make break on the ball and make that big play? I do think that might be what it comes down to. Can the Titans get that one turnover that kind of flips the game around for him?
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in, says, blitz the front four and keep safeties over the top and let linebackers contain the run and short passes. Keep everything in front of you and play tight. Obviously, that's easier said than done against the Colts.
Blitz the front four.
And it's even, I guess, a lot more difficult when you don't have Jayon Brown back there. And hopefully you've got David Long. Like, certainly think he could come in and play. But we had, I think it was Tyler text in earlier talking about, what do you think about bringing in three safeties and let Imani Hooker play in that game and play basically a glorified linebacking role and cover the running backs coming out of the backfield?
Yeah, like big nickel look or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, I'm open-minded on that. I mean, I think you go with your best players. But I think David Long, if he's available, is going to have to play in this game and play a lot in this game. And when you're trying to take on a physical run game that they're starting to figure out, then you put yourself at a disadvantage in that way too. Because David Long, if he's out there, or if it's Will Compton, I mean, you've got to be mindful of that run game. They're going to try to run the ball. We know that.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caleb texts in and says, if the Titans can beat the Colts, do you see a path to 13-3 on the season?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I mean, I see a path. I mean, look, I'm watching the Packers, and I'm with you. I just think their defense leaves a lot to be desired right now.
Derrick Henry can name his yardage total in that game.
And frankly, I mean, even though you look at it like it's a disadvantage – especially like a team from like a warmer weather area going up there on December 27th, you know, the style of play of the Titans, like, it might not be that bad that if Aaron Rodgers can't do what he normally does.
The Titans are equipped to go in there when it's cold. And
yeah.
Warm.
I mean, that's the toughest remaining game after this. So now I should amend that. It's right there with the Browns. I think the Packers are better, but I think the Browns game is also very tough. So, and listen, Deshaun Watson, look what he just did to the Patriots. He's not going to take it easy on people. He's still going to be running around, and the Titans are going to go there just like they did last year. Last year, the Texans were in, and they sat everybody. This year, they're going to have nothing to play for, nothing to lose, and they're going to try to ruin the Titans, whatever is at stake for the Titans. So, it's not like it's easy, but I do think that it's possible. It's on the table if they win this game.
And I will say, hopefully, like on fourth down situations or goal line situations for the Titans this week, if Jacoby Brissett comes in there, may want to put somebody over the center and cover the quarterback sneak. He did that against the Packers a couple of times, too, in this game. I'm like, hey, I don't know if y'all know this. Jacoby Brissett might be coming in for the quarterback sneak.
Yeah, you might want to talk sneak here. That was weird, that TD.
Yeah.
Very weird.
And look, he can do other things, obviously. Like, we've seen Jacoby Brissett play well, but They've been using him more and more the last couple weeks. I know Phillip Rivers, he got a little banged up in the game against Green Bay. He took a hit to his rib cage, and it looked like he was hobbling around a little bit. So I think that had something to do with it as well. But Frank Reich not afraid to try out some different packages. And you know, fourth down, if they're anywhere close to their side, or the Titans side of the field, they're going for it. If it's like the 45 or the 50, be ready because they'll be going for it.
Oh, Frank Reich, man, he's got that face shield, and he's just dialing up a play. He's not even thinking about it. It's just we're going.
They don't even look for the punter or the kicker. They're just, we're going.
Yep.
Which it's hard to blame. What'd they go, 3 for 5 on fourth down against the Titans? Titans had a couple huge stops.
Yeah.
And still, you look at the numbers, and you're like, man, 3 for 5.
And still they kept going for it, and they will continue.
Yeah, and the short passing game, we talked about it a couple weeks ago with Phillip Rivers, and we had a texter on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com talk about Phillip Rivers' ability to throw the ball down the field and beat them that way. I'd like to see that if I'm the Titans. I would force Phillip Rivers to play that way. And like you said, I mean, that's so much easier said than done, but I'm more comfortable at this stage in his career of Phillip Rivers throwing the ball deep and trying to beat you that way than I am just dinking and dunking over the top and letting the receivers run after the catch.
Yeah, I mean, 2 years ago in London, he did that. He bombed him over the top. I think it was Logan Ryan both times, if I'm not mistaken, who got beat deep. But I swear, in that two-year span, and I think the same thing with Tom Brady. I mean, I think we're seeing players diminish right before our eyes.
Right.
Which is someone in the 40s right now, I can say, it happens quickly. My elite athleticism can really go fast, you know.
Yes. But Brady 1 for 9 on the deep ball the other day, 15 yards or more.
And then he decides to arm punt one to a safety to lose the game. It's incredible.
Force Phillip Rivers to do the same thing, man. It's that easy, right? Kevin Byard, 3 picks.
If that's the case, Titans will win.
Is that your called shot?
Oh, yeah. That'll be my situational called shot.
That's right. When we come back, some big news potentially for the Titans yesterday in the special teams game. We'll get to that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, some moves made yesterday by the Titans. They moved Brett Kern, Christian Fulton, and Ty Smith to the team's designated to return list. Jayon Brown and Tyson Brilo placed on injured reserve, and also Trevor Daniel and Greg Maben waived yesterday as well. So an active day for the Titans, but some potentially huge news with Brett Kern being designated to return from IR. If they could get him back for this game against Indianapolis, that would be big. We saw how gigantic special teams was in the first game against the Colts and what a difference it could make in the game. And obviously, with Brett Kern being in there, you would feel great about your punting situation at that point once again.
Big, big difference. Big deal if they can get him. Now, Brett Kern is very good at judging wind and all these things. I mean, he's got a lot going on out there. I've talked to him about all that stuff, and you know that he's got a real knack for it. But if you're indoors, take that all that out, and you're even more precise with some of those punts inside the 10, you know, little coffin corner punt. So that'd be big. It would also mean that if this is how it goes, Ryan Allen is now off the practice squad. Thank you for your service, Ryan Allen. You had a monster day, and you're out. If they end up signing Trevor Daniel to the practice squad, you know, then basically Vrabel was right. He picked Daniel. He did well, and now they can just move on with Brett Kern.
And yeah, I think Trevor Daniel will probably make it to the practice squad. I doubt he gets picked up.
He had a nice punt.
He had against Baltimore.
He did have good hang
time. How closely were you watching Trevor Daniel the other day?
Closely.
Were you?
Yeah. I mean, with that kind of decision, I mean, how outraged were we?
Oh.
Everyone. Like, how could you do this? I will say that the hang time was a difference, and Ryan Allen's wasn't very good, and Trevor's was good the other day. So, good for you, Trevor Daniel.
Way to go, Mike Vrabel. We're all very proud of you. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texted in, even before the injury, Kern was not performing the same as the past, and his Madden rating is still dropping. Joe, your response?
Oh, good. Wow. I'm glad we cleared that up. I've learned more about Madden rating doing this show.
Are you better or worse for it, do you think?
I don't know. My kid keeps trying to get me to play Madden, and I'm like, look, man.
Is Brett Kern's Madden rating really dropping? The dude's automatic. Come on.
So this is what happens like during the year, you know, like they'll drop the ratings based on, at least it's like week to week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or increase ratings.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins joined the 99 club after the Hail Mary catch.
Yeah.
Interesting. I guess that's kind of cool.
You sound very interested in this.
Well, I mean, look, again, I've watched my kids play it, and I'm like, I feel like I'm almost watching just a regular football game. But
from Skycam.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. But it's just, it's too much stuff. I don't like all the buttons. Give me two buttons and something to direct my thing with, you know.
Simpler times.
Fine. Yeah, exactly. My wife, for my 30th birthday, got me an old Nintendo. Now, it broke again. I mean, those things are old. But for a while, I had, like, Tecmo Bowl and Super Tecmo Bowl. That was heaven.
I'm glad that you still have that. Or at one point, had that in your life.
I still have it. I mean, I have it at home. And if I could get it repaired, I would do it.
Yeah, just be functional at one point again.
Yeah.
Hey? I'm sure someone on Thumbtack can repair that for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure there's a local. Okay. I'm sure there's a local Nintendo fixer out there that will gladly fix Nintendo for you.
Thumbtack.
Yeah.
Okay. This is
educational.
I went to Thumbtack. I went to Thumbtack to get someone to repair our lawnmower. The dude came out in 24 hours and it's all fixed.
So it's just a fix it person.
Sure.
Website.
Yeah.
Okay. It's great. Learning a lot today.
That's right. All right, so we were talking earlier in the show about what the Titans are going to do on the offensive line, and it looks like David Quisenberry going to be in at left tackle, Dennis Kelly still at right tackle. My question to you, Joe, is what happens if, like, Quisenberry goes down? What's your backup plan right now at left tackle, and what do you do on the rest of the offensive line in that sort of a pinch, which, let's be honest, given the way the Titans season has gone so far, could be very possible on the offensive line this Sunday.
Well, I have to think that the move there is Dennis Kelly moves from right tackle over to left tackle, and I have to think that Isaiah Wilson then would come on and play right tackle. I don't know. Again, if there's more switching around other than that, then, I mean, what are you saying here about Isaiah Wilson? Now, people shouldn't overreact to the fact that he was active the other day. I mean, I think it was just a necessity move, but still. I mean, it's been weeks now of got to try to get him ready to be a functional backup for you, which is not okay for a first-round pick, but that would still be something. And this is another huge week for that to me is to have him ready because I don't know where you go from there.
So we were tossing this around earlier in the show about – if you could pick one Titan to have his best game on Sunday, who would it be? And I think between the three of us and then our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, we've almost covered every single person and every single position group that's going to be involved in this game
for the Titans. We didn't mention a Kari Blassen game.
Yeah, Blassen game was not mentioned. You're right.
Hey, I'm glad you got the fullback in there. Always important. Don't overlook the fullback.
I always got to give the fullback the proper love. But I want to amend the question. And I think there are two position groups, very interesting, both of which have been ravaged by injury as of late, and that is the offensive line and linebacker. Now with Jayon Brown out, and we saw what a struggle it was against the Colts. We talked about that in the last segment. If you had to pick one of those two to be at the best they could be on Sunday, who would it be, the offensive line or the linebacking group for the Titans?
I would go offensive line. I mean, if the offensive line – and that was Porth threw that out earlier, the O-line. I would go with them if I had to make that choice because if they're really good and you are giving Derrick Henry opportunities to do what he does and then Tannehill has a chance to throw in this game, if Tannehill can set up and throw in this game, he's going to make plays downfield against the Colts. I have no doubt about that. So I would go there. If you can function at a high level on offense – then you might be able to win this game even if Phillip Rivers doesn't gift-wrap you something. You know, I think that's possible. I think it's also important for the linebackers to play well, but I would go O-line.
Okay. I would probably lean offensive line as well. Although, like, if you're just letting the Colts methodically move the ball down the field, like the time of possession, I mean, that's going to be a huge issue for the Titans in this game. Would they go like 11 minutes without the ball from the second quarter into the third quarter?
28 straight plays.
Yeah, like it's unbelievable what the Colts were going to be able to do. So, you got to be better than that. You've got to force them into some mistakes. And I just wonder, with the way the Colts play offense and now without Jayon Brown, how equipped are the Titans to combat that against the Colts? I agree. I think the matchup against the Ravens suited the Titans defense more. And now you've got a different matchup in this game against the Colts, but I think a more challenging matchup in this game against the Colts, which would have been crazy if we said that heading into this season, talking about like Phillip Rivers and the Colts offense being more challenging than Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. But I think right now, based on the way the two offenses are playing, that's absolutely the case.
Yeah, and it is style. It's just the Titans' weaknesses are sort of exposed by the way the Colts play. And the way the Ravens play allows those weaknesses to kind of take a back seat. And maybe you can knock the Ravens for not doing more to take advantage of some certain matchups in that game. But the bottom line is the Titans have a good feel for how to deal with that offense. And based on the first meeting with the Colts and this version of the Colts, boy, they've got some adjusting to do in this one.
They do. Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts back in and says, also on Madden, our backup linemen are rated in the 50s and 60s, while most teams are in the 70s.
So the scouting report. That means a whole bunch.
Yeah. The scouting report getting hammered out there by Ben on Madden.
Because those Madden guys, they got their finger on the pulse of what David Questenberry is doing in practice. That's that's really quality stuff.
Wonder what Isaiah Wilson's Madden rating is right now.
Does every player in the league? Like every player in the league has a Madden rating?
Yeah.
So we could actually look that up.
Yeah.
Over under 32.5.
He's over that.
What's the lowest Madden rating you know of?
Somewhere in the 40s. It doesn't get down to like 20.
Okay.
And somewhere in the 40s is like that seventh round pick in the third year of your dynasty.
Yeah.
That just has some fake name, you know, kicker out of Purdue. He's in the 40s.
No love for Purdue. Wow.
The first callers that came to mind.
Okay. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We talked in the last segment about maybe making Phillip Rivers prove that he can throw the ball a little deeper on you. Jordan texted in, the Titans aren't going to force the Colts to do anything. Their defense isn't good enough.
Yeah. Well, you may be right. I think it's worth trying, though. I think it's worth trying to not just give up the quick hitches and the slants and the things that Rivers will just feast on all day. You got to try. They may not succeed, but I feel like approach needs to be different.
When we come back, it's that time of the week. We'll get into the Choice Is Yours segment coming up next. But first, make sure you're tuning in this Saturday to catch the College Football Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, presented by Gary Force Acura. This Saturday's game is an SEC battle as Auburn and Alabama face off in the 85th playing of the Iron Bowl. Kickoff is at 2:30 on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it's that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Time for The Choice Is Yours. We throw out different scenarios, both sports and non-sports, and then debate on how we would respond to said scenarios. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, the questions are from you this week. Ryan Porth made his debut last week. Now it's back in Joe Rexroad's hands. Joe, I turn it over to you.
All right. Yeah, I'm trying to be a little topical, a little timely today, as I'll let you guys choose sports or non-sports.
Let's go sports. We started non-sports last week. Let's go sports.
Okay. So there's no Tennessee-Vanderbilt game this week, but I thought I'd try to rope in Tennessee-Vanderbilt fans on the same question. So here it is. And you don't have to be a Tennessee or Vanderbilt fan to answer. But this is specifically for them and their situations. Would you rather have, in the next decade, three men's basketball Final Fours, and with each of them, the possibility of winning it. We don't know what the outcome. Just know that you get to the Final Four three times. Or one SEC East title in football with a team that does not have a chance to make the college football playoff.
Mm. That's a good one. Porth, you want to start on that one?
Three Final Fours.
No hesitation from Ryan Porth.
If it doesn't include a trip to the college football playoff, then I would say three Final Fours because you're giving yourself three chances of winning a national title in hoops.
And now just to clarify, now if you get to the SEC, that you could win an SEC championship. That is
sure.
That is possible. But yep, I hear you on that.
This is an
and
interesting
you,
one.
I thought it might be real tough for you, Robbie.
This is tough because I would love to get back to Atlanta at some point. It's been since 2007 since Tennessee has been in Atlanta. Oh, I don't know. I think not having a chance to get to the playoff with the game makes me lean towards the Final Four, but it's close. Like, if you're a Vanderbilt fan for this, getting to the SEC title game in football, like, that's almost unheard. I mean, it is unheard of, but it's almost not even possible in your brain. So I wonder where you go with this if you're a Vandy fan. I would give, as a Tennessee supporter, the very slight edge to the Final Four, but I mean slight. I would love to get back to Atlanta.
See, that's so. I think the question. I mean, I'm surprised. I thought you would go the football way.
Well, the championship
ultimately
being dangled out there,
yeah,
is enticing for me.
See, I think with a Vanderbilt fan, just because football, is what it is and has been what it's been, I almost feel like more of them would say, you know what, basketball is more of the sport where we've always felt we could be competitive. So. Yeah, three Final Fours in 10 years, that'd be amazing. I mean, I think it'd be either way. But
Three Final Fours in a 10-year span would have a better long-term payoff for let's say, Vanderbilt than one random trip to the SEC title game.
Just I would agree.
Just for that sport alone. Because if you go to three Final Fours in 10 years, then all of a sudden you're bringing in you're becoming not what Vanderbilt baseball is, but you're becoming one of the top contenders every year.
Yeah. Yeah. In a higher profile sport. So, yeah. I'm easy for me. I would do the hoops. But, yeah, I thought I might trip you up on that, Rob.
You did. I just gave the slight edge to the Final Four.
All right, non-sports. Would you rather shop all day on Black Friday? And I'm talking from dawn until the stores close. You got to shop all day long. Or only be able to listen to Christmas music from now through December 26th. Whenever you turn on music, it is only Christmas music now for the next month.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'll start. I think I'm picking the Christmas music in this situation. There is nothing, I've done this twice, nothing I think that grinds my gears more than Black Friday shopping in person at places with all these, and obviously it's different this year, but in a normal year where it's just so crowded, and you've got people that are just lunatics in there pushing each other out of the way and diving after TVs and Best Buy. I went into a grocery store, Walmart, a couple years ago on Black Friday. I needed, like, food. And the zoo that it was in there in terms of the lines and people just going crazy on each other, the police presence that was in there, Black Friday, I hate it. Give me the Christmas music. And that's not a great option either, but I'll take the Christmas music.
I'll take the shopping.
Really?
I have more patience than you, Robbie.
Well, that's true.
I have
most
a lot
people
more
do.
Patience, and I would rather spend all day driving around shopping than I would listening to Christmas music for 1 month straight.
Yeah, look, I try to, even in a non-pandemic, not go anywhere near the door on Black Friday. But I can't. A month of listening only. Like, I listen to music a lot. Like, I need music every day. So if I'm having to deal with a month of Christmas, I would lose it, man.
Get some cheer in your life, for God's sake, Rex Road.
Listen, there's like five Christmas songs I like, and I try to play them on a loop on Christmas. But that stuff all day, every day for a month? Yeah, think about that. That might wear on you. I'll have to suck it up for a day.
You want to know the worst Christmas song out there? All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey. It drives me nuts. I can't stand it. there's a few bad ones out there, but that every time I hear that one, it's probably because it's played every other song. It drives me insane when I hear that song.
I hear you. I hear you. See, I like the Paul McCartney one. My wife hates it. A Wonderful Christmas Time. Yeah. Simply Have. I love that one. It just drives her nuts. Everybody has a few that they can't stand. All right, sports. It's another one of in a series of kind of similar questions, but it's third and goal from the 10. Super Bowl, 1 second left. You're down 5. You score a TD, you win, or you don't score a TD and you lose, and you've got to throw a fade. Current or past wide receivers, who are you throwing your fade to?
Anybody.
Anybody. Doesn't have to be active. Anyone in the history of the sport of football.
This is easy to me. Randy Moss. I'm throwing it to Randy Moss, letting him jump up and go get it. I mean, the dude is unstoppable. You can't cover him. Give me Randy Moss.
Calvin Johnson.
Oh, that's a good one.
Calvin Johnson, an absolute freak. Mismatch for almost any DB out there, especially on a fade. Jump ball. Give me Calvin Johnson.
Isn't it funny to think about Calvin Johnson in a Lions uniform?
Well,
in the Super Bowl?
Those are the exactly. Yes. Well, that's the thing. So, honestly, one of the most frustrating things for people who watch the Lions during those years, they did not throw the fade much to him.
Right.
And I swear, whenever they did, there was no contest. I'm also going Calvin Johnson. Randy Moss did it a lot more at a higher level. This is an example of a franchise taking a player who I think could be right now known as the greatest receiver ever, period. But he's not, because he played for the freaking Lions. But
what about a tall guy like Plexico Burress?
Yeah.
Dude's 6'6".
Sure. He's a good choice. Art Monk was a great fade guy. T.O.
Yeah.
Was a guy. There's a lot of good choices, but I do think those are your top two. I mean,
the Giants won a Super Bowl on a fade to Plexico.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, Plexico, great option.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, LeBron, he played football. Go up and get the fade route.
There you go. I'd throw the fade to LeBron.
Yeah, I would too.
LeBron, big Derrick Henry fan.
Okay. Noted Titans fan, LeBron James.
That's right. No, yeah. Okay, last one, non-sports. So this is for the year 2021. This is similar to my other non-sports question, which is like miserable holiday situations that you can try to get yourself out of. Okay. On Thanksgiving, you are only allowed to eat one Lunchable for lunch and dinner. No dessert, no drinks other than water. But you would not have to cook one time during the rest of the year. Your food would, you know, you would eat dinner without ever having to cook for a year, however that looks. Or you get the full Thanksgiving feast, but you have to cook dinner the other 364 days of the year. And I'm talking cooking. I'm talking meals, ingredients, pots, pans, oven. I'm not talking I threw a Stouffer's in the microwave. Like, you've got to cook.
There's got to be some time invested here.
Right.
Oh, give me option one. Look, I love cooking. I do. I'm not very good at it, but I like grilling. I like, you know, every now and then taking the time to prepare a nice home-cooked meal. Doing that every day, that would get old very quickly. Like, I can't do it every day. So because of that, I'm going option one. Even though option one, not great. I'm going with option one because I don't have the patience to sit there and cook every single day. I just don't, even though I like it.
Can you restate what option one is?
Option one is, so basically, your Thanksgiving is a Lunchable for lunch and dinner.
Right.
With water, with no dessert. It's a brutally awful.
The option one, give me the Lunchables.
Yeah?
Oh,
really?
Yeah. I love Lunchables.
I mean, yeah, but for Thanksgiving?
Sure.
Of course, I found the guy who loves Lunchables.
Yeah.
No, nah, they're not bad.
Give me the ham and American cheese Lunchable.
Yeah.
Every time.
That one's not bad. See, to me, this is easy. I mean, there's no way it would be miserable on Thanksgiving to have that. No dessert, like water only. And I love cooking. Although this would be very challenging. I'm all in. I'll do that. I'll do that 364 to have the full Thanksgiving.
Okay, so. It's an honorable sacrifice that you would make there, Joe Rexroth.
Thank you. That's really what the whole thing was leading up to for me to make myself look good. So.
Very good job on the choices. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, diehard Vandy fan here. Give me the SEC East title game as long as fans are allowed to attend the games, because that would be a ride I'd want to be on. It's an easy choice for me over the Final Four.
Okay. Yeah, and yes. Yeah, we're all hoping that we just never have to talk about the no fan thing and all that. So, yes, this is sometime in the future, fans and normal life.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, definitely throwing to Megatron. Nobody I'd trust more on the fade route. So, Calvin Johnson getting a lot of love.
Well, it was incredible how they didn't do it much. And then whenever they did, it's like, hey, maybe give that a try sometimes. Yeah, it's just so physically dominant. But Randy Moss is
where do you put Calvin Johnson in, like, in terms of all-time receivers?
There was
top
a
five?
There was a time when I thought, like, he's going to end up being number one. And then, you know, he didn't. I mean, obviously, he cut his career short, which I don't blame him at all. But, yeah, I think he is top five. I don't think a lot of people would necessarily agree with that. I don't know. I think that Moss would be certainly Jerry Rice is number one. But I think there's people who would put a lot of guys ahead of him, like Michael Irvin and
T.O.
Maybe T.O., maybe Marvin Harrison, you know, guys like that. I think he's sold short, though. I think he's that good.
Talent-wise, certainly top five. I mean, that dude was unbelievable. When we come back, we'll dive back into the Titans and the Colts. Former Colts center and current ESPN NFL analyst Jeff Saturday will join us. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.